जैसा और कोई नहीं, तुम जैसा और कोई नहीं, कोई नहीं भाग्यवान, चमक रहा है भाग्य सितारा, चमक रहा है भाग्य सितारा, नील गगन आसमान, तुम जैसा और कोई नहीं, तुम जैसा और कोई नहीं, कोई नहीं भाग्यवान।
ओम शांति, एंड रियली अ वेरी वार्म वेलकम टू शीलु बेन। इट्स द फर्स्ट time that we're having her with us directly, although she's Baba's voice for us in the meeting. I just wonder, anyone that doesn't know Shilu Ben here? Anyone that doesn't know, can you put your hand up? Okay, there's a few Shilu Ben. So Shilu Ben came to Baba as a child. She spent time with Brahma Baba in Madhuban. And she did a lot of service in the early years in foreign countries around the world, but then it was decided that Shilu Ben will be based in Madhuban, where she has been since the 70s. So she's Baba's voice for us, the English translator. She's an amazing teacher and teaches classes right throughout India and still travels to foreign lands each year. She's regularly on the television in India, but she has a special connection with us, the double foreigners. And even tonight, for example, we're going to go, those of us that are going to go to the magic show, she will be there being a support for us if we need any help and guiding us. So thank you, Shilu Ben, for being with us today and sharing on the signs of a true Brahmin. What is a true Brahmin? How does it look like in reality? Not just in theory, but in our interactions, in our attitude, in our motivation behind our actions, behind our behaviors. So, a warm welcome to Shilu Ben.
Om Shanti. We just heard a song that was played now in Hindi. The wordings of this song were very beautiful. This song was reminding us of how fortunate we are. You are the most fortunate of all. There is no one more fortunate than you. The bestower of fortune himself has become yours. You belong to him and he belongs to you. You are claiming the highest fortune, and so on and so forth. These are the words of this song which was just played. And when I hear this song, I get goose pimples, because it reminds us of our fortune. At this confluence age, God, the bestower of fortune, is showering fortune on us. The other day in the Murli too, Baba said, at this time of the confluence age, you are getting the godly study. You are studying godly knowledge, which you study at no time, no other time in the whole cycle. And how this knowledge becomes the source of income. You not only earn invaluable, immeasurable treasures at this time, but these jewels become the real jewels in the future. So you are accumulating jewels of knowledge. If somebody is very rich, he is called to be so fortunate. So there could be no one else more fortunate than us, because we are the richest in the world at this time. Each jewel of knowledge, Baba says, is worth millions. So in this way we are studying godly knowledge, which is enabling us to create our fortune. And this fortune will last for 21 births. In the 21 births of Golden Age and Silver Age, we will not have to make any effort for any type of success. We won't be laboring. Everything will be easily attainable, achievable, because we claim this fortune at the confluence age. Due to the jewels of knowledge we accumulate now. So it is the godly study which is making our fortune. And then Baba says, it is the divine attainments which you get at this time, the divine attainments in the form of treasures, along with the treasure of knowledge, there is the treasure of virtues and the treasure of powers. And this confluence age is the most precious one too. The age at this time is precious because our life is very precious at this time. Our thoughts, our breath, everything is precious. One thought, right thought, elevated thought, can result in so much fortune. And the other way around to one waste thought, one impure thought can result in so much misfortune. Either in accumulating treasures, one thought, or in finishing all our treasures. Just one thought is enough. Just as we say that, how far is peace away from us? The answer is only one thought away. It is only one thought away. If you think that I am a peaceful soul, peace is with you. And if I think that I am a peaceless being, I am very peaceless, even this one thought will make me so peaceless that no one will be able to give me peace. So it's just a matter of a thought which creates our destiny, which gives our treasures or takes away our treasures. So Baba says the highest attainments, the most elevated study, and God Himself is sustaining us. Just imagine what a great fortune. At this time of the confluence age, we are being sustained by God Himself. Usually on the path of devotion, there's a saying that God feeds everyone. Even an ant is fed by God. That's what they say. So God is the one who is providing food to us. So he's feeding us. But they just say it for the sake of saying only. Why? Because it's not that they're not striving hard. It's not easy to get food. You need to earn for that. But we children say that God is feeding us. There will never come a moment when we'll feel that we have no food to eat. The stomach will never go hungry. I remember one murli in which Baba said, at the end, nothing will be really, worth eating. You will not be able to eat anything. Everything will become so poisonous. You would prefer to not eat than to eat anything poisonous. And at that time, if you are merged with Baba, but just Baba and none other, no one else in the intellect, then Baba will take us to the subtle regions and feed us, and we feel that we are quenched because we experienced as the sustenance from God in the subtle regions, although we will be in the physical world. So such is the sustenance of God. And we say it very proudly that at this time of the confluence age, God is sustaining us. In Hindi there are very interesting rhyming words, Padhai, Palna and Prapti. Padhai is study, Palna is sustenance and Prapti is attainments. So as God's children, we are being sustained by God Himself, who is giving us all these attainments, not only for one birth, but for 21 births together. But when we hear all these things, we get so intoxicated, but we forget this word, but. Why but? Because Baba says, you do get all this, no doubt, but there are conditions. And if these conditions are followed accurately, well, then every treasure is yours. And therefore we should know what are the conditions which we have to abide by, to follow, then we can become the direct heir of God Himself. And to become a direct heir means to claim all the inheritance, all the attainments, the study, the sustenance, all as a birthright. So how we say that it is our birthright? Because we are taking a spiritual birth from God Himself. Actually, everyone is God's child. But we say we are direct children of God. God Himself has created us through the mouth of Brahma. We are the first creation of God. And if you look at it in the cycle, we are the first creation as well as the last creation in the cycle. The beginning stems coming from the seed, and we are the last ones right at the end to finish the yajna to put everything back together in the yajna, the last yajna, the last sacrificial fire. And Baba says, in this last sacrificial fire, the whole world will be incinerated. So we are at the end, when the whole world will be incinerated in this sacrificial fire, and we are also the first creation of God, whom God is creating now through Brahma. And as the Brahmins, the first progeny of Brahma, we have become direct descendants of Brahma. We claim the throne of Brahma. We call ourselves the true Brahmins. If you ask any Laukik Brahmin in the world, in India, there are so many Laukik Brahmins. And they are very proud when they say that they are the mouth-born progeny of Brahma. You know, the priests, the pandits, or the worship, those who look after temples and all that, they call themselves pandas, or the guides who guide people on pilgrimage places. They guide the pilgrims to make sacrifices, donations, you know, charity, so that the devotees are able to earn their income for the future. And Baba says, you are the direct children of Brahma. Shiv Baba has created you through the mouth of Brahma. You are even higher than the deities. The deities are shown in the face, but the Brahmins are even above the face, above the head, the top knot. So they are right at the top of the whole creation, the first creation. God creates Brahma, the creator, and through Brahma God creates the Brahmins, who become the first creation of God. And then after that come the deities. So deities are second number, but Brahmins are first number. So as the direct progeny of Brahma, which is born at this time of the confluence age, we have a very, very, very big responsibility of transforming the world. And as we transform the world, we are also claiming our rights for the future. So claiming our rights, getting direct inheritance from the head teacher, we are becoming like him. So, what are the qualifications or the signs of such elevated Brahmins? Usually, Baba mentions in the Murlis that in the study books of scriptures, there is mention of four types of clans: the Brahmin clan, the Kshatriya clan, the Vaishya clan, and the Shudra clan. There is no mention of Brahmins there, no mention of Brahmins, only deities, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. The deities, the warrior clan, Kshatriyas, Vaishya, the sustainers, who the businessmen, and then the Shudras, the working class, who look after the government things. The Vaishyas look after the stomach of the population. The Shudras look after the country. They even want to fight on the battlefield. So Baba says, at present, This is the most auspicious confluence age. And at this time you have to play a double role. Double role in which there is self-service as well as service of others. It is not just self-service. To serve the self is not a big thing, because the soul realizes that at this time of the cycle, I have to serve, and then in the future I receive. So if I really want to receive, I cannot deceive God. To receive means to not deceive God. If I try to run away, try to deceive God, I'm running away from my own responsibilities. I'm running away from God's Shrivat. I'm running away from my high status, because God has come for that. So we, the fortunate Brahmin children, are even higher than the deities, because we are the first creation of God. Now, as of the first creation, what are we supposed to do? Because it is only on the basis of what we do now that the future generations will follow accordingly. So Baba has given us so many, what should you say, so many blessings, yes, but for those blessings Baba has also told us our disciplines, our principles which we have to follow. And Baba says, if you follow them, if you become my obedient child, if you follow my footsteps, do as I say, then I guarantee you that I will be able to give you the full inheritance of golden age. Today also in the Murli, Baba said, we have so many different classes, you know, in the carriages, in the train, we have the first class, we have the second class, we have the air-conditioned class. Before there used to be the third class. But later on, many years ago, in India removed this third class, because they put air-conditioned class and then first class and then second class. In air-condition also, there was first class air-condition, second class air-condition, two-tire air-condition, three-tire, three berths, you know, six berths in one cabin. And in this way, the ticket is charged differently. And Baba says, now is the time to take this ticket. However much money you may have, accordingly you take your ticket. Rich people will go in air condition, first class, and the common man, the ordinary people who cannot afford much, they will go in second class, or maybe in just the unreserved coach also we have, where you just go buy ticket and sit. So Baba says, it's all up to you. How much can you afford? And in order to be able to afford much, you need to have a lot of treasures yourself. In order to have all the treasures yourself, you have to earn. You have to follow the disciplines. You have to be obedient children. And Baba is the Almighty, He is the Master, He is the Supreme. And He says, I give all my treasures to my worthy children. Even in the Laukik family, we say that if a father has earned a lot of wealth, then it is his wish to give how much he wants to his children. The children cannot claim everything. It's up to the father. Yes, if it belongs to the grandfather and the father is looking after that property, then the grandchildren have direct rights to the grandfather's property. So in some way we get direct rights from the grandfather, Shiv Baba. But in some ways the rights come from the father, Brahma Baba also. Because if we want to claim what Brahma Baba achieved, then we have to follow in his footsteps. We have to do what Brahma Baba did. How in a second he surrendered himself. Although Baba says nowadays that you don't surrender yourself like that as it was at the beginning of the yajna. It's different now. You live at home, do your job, do your lokik responsibilities, and still you can be called mentally surrendered. But at that time, the sisters who surrendered, they just literally ran away from home and came to Baba and took his shelter. They took refuge in Baba because they didn't want to go back home. At home, they were tortured. They were told to indulge in vice, in sex, in lust, and they refused. So they didn't want to experience so much torture, so they just ran away from home. But now Baba says, no, you have to live at home, you have to bear it, you have to tolerate it, because how many can come and sit here? And what will we do with so many thousands just coming and sitting here? Where will we accommodate them? And therefore Baba says, no, we don't need that now. In that the beginning, it was necessary because the foundation was being laid. And the foundation has to be very strong. And therefore those at the beginning, they just ran to Baba. And Baba gave them he made them surrender, and Baba took care of them. He protected them. He looked after them. And how for 14 years, how Baba looked after the children. Brahma Baba used all his wealth to sustain the children. And then how Baba's service started. So the foundation was laid in those 14 years. The foundation is always very incognito. You know, that the roots are always incognito. They are not visible. But they are very strong. You see, in the mountains, and now there's no rain. And therefore all the trees are nearly dried up. Anybody who comes now, he may think, oh, these trees are all dried up. And that means they are dead. They won't become green again because they're all like dead. But no, once the rainy season comes, all these trees which look like as good as dead, they will blossom again. They will get flowers and fruits again. How it happens? From where does it happen? It happens because the roots are very strong. And because the roots are strong, the tree is not destroyed. The tree doesn't die. Although physically it may look that there are no leaves, the twigs are so dry, everything's so dry, probably these trees are dead. But no, roots are very much alive. They sustain the whole tree. And therefore Baba says, those who became the roots, they are so strong, so powerful, that they are now sustaining everything. Even if the children now may not be that powerful, but the roots are sustaining the yajna in some way or the other. The atmosphere is powerful because of those dadis who have really created that atmosphere through their tapasya. Although the newer ones are doing it too, but then the roots are very strong. And therefore Brahma Baba was the seed, with Shiv Baba, both were the seed. Brahma Baba cannot be separated from Shiv Baba. We cannot say this is Brahma Baba speaking or Shiv Baba speaking now. Both are together. In Sakar Murlis we could feel, okay, Brahma Baba speaking, now Shiv Baba speaking. Because Brahma Baba used to talk about his own efforts, how he was making efforts. But now Brahma Baba has become complete. So as a complete soul, as a perfect soul, as a soul equal to the Father, both alike, and therefore both speak together. Yes, sometimes Shiv Baba does tell for Brahma Baba, but it's only praise. Sometimes Brahma Baba tells for Shiv Baba, but it's only praise. So they praise each other. We can feel, yeah, Brahma Baba praising Shiv Baba, Shiv Baba praising Brahma Baba. But in Sakar Murlis, Brahma Baba used to tell about himself also. Children, I too make effort. I also tell Baba, Baba, I'm going to have my meals now and I will remember only you and none other. But I forget. So Brahma Baba used to tell how he used to forget. So this was like making the children realize that you have to continue making efforts. You're not complete yet. But when Baba became complete, all this type of saying in Sakar Murlis was over. In the last 6 months Sakar Murlis, each Murli contained one very important point which was common, and that was, children, you have to become the towers of peace. Just as a tower of light, like a lighthouse, spreads light all around, similarly, as a tower of peace, you have to spread peace all around. So your towers of peace, your towers of knowledge, your towers of might, your towers of purity, each virtue, you become the master in them and you spread that in the world, so you become the towers. Those lighthouses, maybe they guide the ships, but then you are not just lighthouses, Baba sometimes says, you are like searchlights. You guide even those who are in the air, in the aeroplanes, you know, the searchlight which is visible in the sky for guiding aeroplanes. And therefore Baba says how Brahma Baba became avyakt, and then they became Shiva. He became combined with Shiv Baba and inseparable from Shiv Baba. And as inseparable from Shiv Baba, there was no question of him making effort because he was equal to the Father. But they were great role models for us. Baba says, Shiv Baba, you have to remember. So remember the Father, but follow the Father. So remember Shiv Baba the Father and follow Brahma Baba the Father, because he was also in the corporeal form. So what did Brahma Baba do? How instantly he brought a transformation in himself. His vision changed completely. And that's what Baba wants us to do the same. Today also Baba mentioned how our face shows our fortune. So each thought of ours, each drishti of ours, each word we speak, each action we take, each movement we move, all that has an impact on our fortune. And therefore, Baba keeps telling us what Brahma Baba did, you have to do the same. Brahma Baba instantly changed himself, instantly. Baba didn't take even a few minutes. It was instant change. The moment he got the vision of Vishnu, and he got that, like clarion call from God, that you have to become like him. I make you my medium, and you have to create a new age. And immediately the changes came in him, Brahma Baba. And he surrendered himself, his body, mind and wealth instantly. His outlook, his drishti changed immediately. Everyone became like children of Brahma, not just his own lucky children, because so many surrendered and all of them became the adopted children of Brahma. He gave sustenance to them, he protected them, he looked after them. And he did not make them feel at all that they were different from his own Lokic children. Even his own Lokic wife, Brahma Baba, Dada Lekraj's wife, was a child for Baba. She called him Baba and he called her child. Though in Lokic they were maybe couple. Not just his lucky children said Baba, but so many more who surrendered to Baba also said Baba, Father. So Brahmins are the first creation of Brahma. And as the first creation of Brahma, what is our responsibility? We are creating the new world, which God is doing through Brahma, and we are his helpers, creating the new world. Brahmins are meant to create the new world. Brahmins are higher than the deities. So we are the direct followers of Brahma. So whatever Brahma did, we follow. And in the scriptures, there is mention of so much about Brahma. There are so many words which are connected with Brahma, although they have now mixed it up with Brahma. For example, Brahma Gyan, the knowledge, the original knowledge which God imparted through Brahma, that today the sannyasis call it Brahma Gyan. Actually it is knowledge imparted by Shiv Baba through Brahma. And then Baba says this Gyan, this knowledge, then goes into oblivion. It's forgotten. It doesn't last for centuries or ages, no. Because at this time you get the knowledge, and then you go in the next birth, you go and reap the fruit of what you did now or you achieve now. And when you are reaping the fruit, you don't remember anything of your efforts. You are just reaping. So it's only at this time of the cycle when we are really sowing the seed, when we are really creating our fortune. And once I have understood this, I will not waste a single moment, because I am a true Brahmin who who has got Brahma Gyan, and through this Brahma Gyan I attain Mukti and Jivan Mukti. So future is very high, but the efforts are now for that. The future is, the fruit is in the future, but the efforts are in the present. And the roots are becoming strong and strong. So Baba says that as Brahma Baba did everything instantly, it was just a switch over, that's all. It's not that he became a sannyasi. It's not that he changed his dress. It's not that he left his heart and home and became a sannyasi. No. He didn't leave anything. He didn't leave his family. He didn't leave his responsibilities. But that limited one became unlimited. The limitations broke, the barriers broke, the walls broke, and it became unlimited. Because limited is just only these are mine and not those. But when the barriers break, the walls break, everything is mine. Or it could be the other way around, nothing is mine. Either everything belongs to me or nothing belongs to me. In Hindi there's a very beautiful saying, you know, very beautiful song. The words of those song are, you live in this world as if everything is yours. You know, when you're living in this world, live like everything is yours. And when you are dying, you think nothing is yours. Nothing is yours. At that time, don't remember, oh, my child, my home, my family, my money, my house, my shop, my this, my that, my beautiful cardigan, my, you know, all that. Nothing is going to accompany you. Nothing is yours. So live like everything is yours and die like nothing is yours. Die free. Empty-handed. But Baba says, we don't leave the body empty-handed, we go full, having accumulated so much fortune for the future. We know our future is very bright. So what did Brahma Baba do? Instant change of vision. For him, everyone became his children, his child. Well, for me, instant change of vision means not that everyone is my child, but everyone is my brother and sister. It's all one world family. There is no one a stranger for me, no one. Although I may not know him by name or by other things, but he's a soul. And as a soul, he's not a stranger for me. So this is that feeling. Once we are able to create that feeling, the limitness goes. And that's what Brahma Baba experienced instantly. You know, it was not maybe easy for family members to do that instantly, I'm sure. Maybe not very easy for his Laukik wife or Laukik children to think like that. For Brahma Baba it was very easy because Shiv Baba entered in his body and everything changed. But maybe for the Laukik family it was not very easy. But then how Brahma Baba set an example for them. Brahma Baba used to write on the walls, his Laukik wife's name was Yashoda. Yashoda. So he would write on the walls, Yashoda is a soul, Yashoda is a soul, Yashoda is a soul. Now Yashoda would read that surely, no? Would read that, what was written on the wall by Baba. And in this way teach herself, Yashoda is a soul, I'm a soul, I'm a soul. This Brahma Baba's handwriting, how Brahma Baba's practicing. Baba was very attached to his daughter-in-law, Brijendra Dadi. Very attached to her. She was very beautiful and Baba was a businessman. So as a businessman he used to make a lot of use of her. He used to adorn her with a lot of jewelry and take her to the kings. And the kings would be, you know, feel enchanted seeing such ornaments on his daughter-in-law who was so beautiful. And they would, the queens would say, I want this necklace, I want this, I want that, what your daughter-in-law has put. And Baba was very clever, very tactful. What he would do is, he would tell his daughter-in-law, Brijnadadi, you know what you have on you, take it out. And we'll sell it to them. I'll give you a even better one, don't worry. So, it was like business, you know, wearing that and taking, and she going with the father-in-law to the kings and queens, and immediately they would be attracted towards the ornament she was wearing. And Baba would sell that. So he was very attached to her because she was very beautiful, not physical attachment in that sense, but she respected Brahma Baba so much, and followed each of his footsteps, and very, very honest, very truthful, very obedient. So when Brahma Baba changed everything, even the attachment to the daughter-in-law had to change. It was easy to be detached from the children, easy to be detached from maybe the wife too, but the daughter-in-law. But he did practice. His daughter-in-law's name was Radha, Radhika, and he would write on the walls, Radhika is a soul, Radhika is a soul. So let Radhika also realize that she should not be attached to Baba. She should see him also as a soul, and he also has to see her as a soul. You know, in this way, he made these efforts. So, instant change in vision, instant change in thoughts. And Baba says, when you are a true Brahman, it means instant change. This is the meaning of a true Brahman. So, Brahma Gyan helps us to experience this instant change, because the vision changes. So seeing everyone as a soul, seeing everyone as God's child, that's the first thing God comes and does. He creates one family, breaks all the barriers. When God comes, we say He creates three things. First is the family. That family of golden age, which gradually scattered, went all over the world, to different continents, to different maybe religions, different languages, different nationalities, different cultures, complete change, total change. And then how through the knowledge of soul and supreme soul, Baba brings them together like a magnet, pulling the needles, and the souls, the needles being attracted towards the Father. And the first thing God does is create a spiritual world family without any barriers of caste, creed, color, any distinctions. And then the second thing Baba does is to create a kingdom. Third thing he does is create a new religion, the religion which has gone into oblivion, the deity religion, a religion which is of souls who are filled with divine qualities, and a kingdom. So these three things God comes and establishes. Baba says other prophet souls establish just a religion. They neither establish a family nor do they establish a kingdom. They just establish a religion. For them it's very easy to establish a religion because the souls of that religion are already there in the soul world. And after the prophet soul comes, the souls of the religion descend. But the deity souls have scattered all over the world already. They are not in one place. The souls of other religions are already only in Paramdham, so they come easily. The prophet souls don't have to make effort to establish the religion. Although, yes, it's something new for the society, for the people, therefore they don't accept maybe easily, readily, because they think it's different. But then that's the need of the hour. Now also see, when Baba is giving us this spiritual knowledge, many sannyasis are different cults and sects and whatnot. They think that we are different. We are not like what they say. We are teaching differently. You see, it has to be, because this is what is the need of the hour now. All those who are involved in sects and cults and isms and limitations, that won't work anymore now. The need of the hour is to bring all of them back together. The unity in diversity is possible only when there is the knowledge of soul and supreme soul. Otherwise, unity can never come. Oneness can never come. Because there's so much of diversity, so much. All the whole unlimited kalpa tree has spread so far and wide. Not only spread far and wide, but those branches and their sub-branches and their sub-branches, and then their twigs and their, twigs and twigs. Ultimately, you see, in a tree, in a huge tree, at the top, which is like a crown for the tree, those little tiny stems, they have so many, but they are so they are not at all strong, they are so weak, in a second they can break. Although the tree looks very beautiful because it's like a crown on top, but the little twigs which come, they are so weak that they can break easily. Therefore we are seeing now how all these religions, they have scattered so much, so far, yes, but then they have become so weak. And the deity religion, which is the root, which is the main trunk, from them only they have come. But still how everything has become so much diverse. But now for that diversity to finish and that oneness, that unity to come back, only knowledge of soul and supreme soul will work. Nothing else will work. Even when people talk about values, it's useless talking about values without the base of spiritual knowledge. One should have tolerance, one should be loving, one should be this, one should be that. But it's all baseless unless there is knowledge of soul and supreme soul. Why? Because if love is based on body consciousness, they don't have knowledge of soul. Is only based on body consciousness, then that love is not the true love, it's not pure love, it's selfish love. If there is, they say, okay, tolerance, but that should be based on soul consciousness. The soul is experiencing one's self-respect. But yes, I'm tolerating the other one, I'm accepting the other one. Because I know his part is different from mine. Otherwise tolerance is not possible. That's why people nowadays say tolerance is like cowardice. Why should I tolerate? I don't want to tolerate. I'll be a coward if I'm tolerating. I want to react. How much can I tolerate? But Baba says, no. You increase your resilience inside and it's easy for you to tolerate. It's not difficult. You can't stop what's happening in the world, but you can detach yourself mentally. But that's possible only if you have the inner resilience. You should not retaliate, but you should have resilience to face the situation with tolerance. So values are possible to experience, to imbibe, only when you're soul and God conscious. Baba is with me, God is with me, that feeling. So this is the real Brahma Gyan, the true Gyan which God gave through Brahma. And then Baba says, Brahma Muhurat, again a very important period of the day, the early hours of nectar. In Hindi they say Brahma Muhurat, the first hours before the sun rises, you know, before the dawn, the Amrit Vela. And that is the real time of the Brahmins, the beginning of the cycle. So Sangam Yuga is the end of the cycle as well as the beginning of the cycle, it's the confluence. So at this confluence, we are no longer in Kali Yuga. We have left the shores of Iron Age. We are not even in Golden Age, but we are at the confluence, it's between the two. And the beauty of this confluence age is that we have knowledge of the past as well as the future. Those who are in Kali Yuga, they don't have knowledge of the future. Those who will be in Satya Yuga, they won't have knowledge of the past, the Kali Yuga. But we at the confluence have the knowledge of both Kali Yuga, which we see around, and the Satya Yuga, which is going to come in the future. And this is the Brahma Muhurat, the very, very early hours of morning, you know, even before the sun has risen. But at that time it is dark, yes, but that bright, the rays are just coming up. So the rays are breaking the darkness. So we are at that confluence. So at this confluence we are able to see both sides. And this is the time when we wake up. We wake up. Those who sleep late, they wake up so late. They wake up after the sun rises, much after the sun rises. There are many people who have never seen the sun rising. Never. Many of you also, maybe before you came to Baba. How many? Can you raise your hand? We had never seen the sun rising. Always got up after the sunrise. It was bright light. Maybe in some countries the sun rises late, you know, it's different. But anyone who never woke up before sunrise, all woke up before sunrise. So you must have seen the darkness in the sky. Yes, so Brahmins definitely wake up at that time. But there are so many people in the world who sleep late and wake up also very late. And Baba says, you wake up at Brahma Muhurat. Therefore the great yogis will wake up at 3 o'clock. Well, yogis will wake up at 4 o'clock. Devotees wake up at 5 o'clock. Even devotees, those in, you know, you see in India, temple bells ringing, 5 o'clock, temple bells ring. So devotees go to the temple at 5 o'clock. It's not very bright. And then the rogis, those who are very sick, they also wake up by 6 o'clock at least, they wake up. And then we say bhogis, those who indulge in lust and vice and all night, at least they wake up at 7 o'clock, because they have to go to work, you know, all that. But yogis wake up very early, because in the cycle, that's the time we get the nectar of knowledge. So that's called Brahma Muhurat, the time when Brahma descends and he creates his progeny, the new world. So we are descendants of Brahma, born at that time and getting the enlightenment in the earlier hours of the morning. And Baba says, you meditate at that time when all the bhogis, all the vicious people, they are sleeping. And therefore the vibrations of impurity are also not there. So the yogis wake up to create the pure vibrations, you know, because the pure vibrations help them. So they're able to meditate better. Therefore Baba says, don't meditate at midnight. 2 o'clock, midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, no. Let it be only after 3 o'clock. By then, the bhogi is the impure, vicious people are sleeping. At least they sleep that late. So wake up early. So Brahma Mahurat. So Brahma Gyan, Brahma Mahurat, then Brahma Bhojan, the food we eat. The food which we eat is the pure food. So which food did Brahma Baba eat? Nowadays there's so much discussion on food. So much discussion. But Baba says, you have to eat the food which Brahma Baba ate. Brahma Baba ate means cooked in Shiva Baba's remembrance, then eaten in Shiva Baba's remembrance, and the pure food without any type of rajasic or tamasic things. You know, it's a big, you can, it's a big list of all that. Nowadays there are vengeance, no? What is it? Vegans. So it's different. Some say we don't take milk, we don't take any milk products. Once Dadi Gulzar was asked, Dadi, people these days don't take milk and milk products. So should we take milk? Dadi immediately said, why not? In Satyug, there are cows which give so much milk and Krishna is called to have stolen butter, you know. Why should you not take milk? But the milk these days is really not worth drinking because it's so much polluted. And therefore we don't like to take milk. But actually nothing is really worth eating these days. Everything is contaminated, everything is with chemicals, what not. But anyway, Baba says you have to sustain yourself. You have to sustain your body. Therefore, eat in Baba's remembrance, but abstain from some foods which Baba says, these foods, they arouse less sex lust, so that you should avoid because we are yogi souls. And eat food which is cooked in God's remembrance, offered to Baba, then we are able to purify our thoughts. So that's, we have to take these precautions. Some may say, well, it's all machine cooked and machine made. Well, it's up to you, but then it's not each and every food that comes in your way you take. So you have to keep some rules for yourself. That is called Brahma Bhojan. So Brahma Bhojan, Brahma Gyan, Brahma Mahurat, and fourth is Brahmacharya. That's the fourth thing, Brahmacharya. Brahmacharya means whatever Brahma Baba did in life, that we have to follow. So literal meaning of Brahmacharya could be celibacy. But Baba says celibacy not only at a gross level, not only at a physical level, but even at the most subtle level. Not even in your dreams you should have any type of impurity. Not even dreams. Why does Baba say not even dreams? Because other things maybe are under your control. But dreams are not under your control. Your dreams are based on your sanskars. Whatever your sanskars are, on the basis of that, the impressions in the soul, because of them, you get those dreams which are not under your control. So even in your dreams, this impurity of any vice shouldn't be there. But that's possible only if it's not there in your thoughts. But still thoughts are under your control. You can control them. But they should be removed for good. Only then they will not come in your dreams. And how will you remove them for good? When you are aware of your true self. Therefore, Dadi keeps saying every time she starts speaking, she says Om Shanti 3 times and these words come from her lips. Who am I and whose am I? Who am I and whose am I? मैं कौन, मेरा कौन, दैट्स व्हाट शी सेज, बिकॉज दैट्स द एसेंस ऑफ एवरीथिंग, दैट इज द ट्रूथ, हु एम आई एंड हूज एम आई, द इटर्नल ट्रूथ, अदरवाइज द रेस्ट इज ऑल चेंजिंग. It's not the truth. What is truth? How do you define truth? The definition of truth is very deep. Truth means that which cannot change. Truth is unchanging. Truth is eternal. Truth is never created. Truth can never be destroyed. And therefore we say soul and supreme soul. Only these two are the truth, because they are never created, never destroyed, and unchanging, eternal. For the soul we say five things: eternal, immortal, imperishable, indivisible and invisible. These five, in. Immortal, imperishable, eternal, divisible, invisible. The truth is that. Truth is not just what I see. Science will say seeing is believing. Only what I see, I think it's the truth. But we say no, that's not the truth. Because what you are seeing is also changing, changing, changing. Something is changing, how can it be called the truth? This body is also changing, 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 every moment. This wall is also changing, changing, changing every moment. And therefore spirituality says all this is untruth. Only that which is unchanging is the truth. That's the soul. That's the supreme soul. So if I know these two, then I know the truth. That is Brahma Gyan. That is the awareness of the Self and Supreme called Brahma Muhurat, awakening, enlightenment. That is the first hours of the day. That is the true food for the soul. That is the true purity. Today also Baba said, the beauty of purity. Beauty of purity. Usually Baba says the personality of purity. Purity is the personality of that. But today Baba used the word beauty. So beauty means not the physical beauty. Beauty physical is always changing. Because beauty is only skin deep, they say. But the true beauty is the beauty of values of the soul. The true depth is the values of the soul. The true strength is the values of the soul. So once I've understood this, I can realize that this is being a true Brahmin. And if I'm not really that, then can I call myself a true Brahmin? So I have to follow in the footsteps of Brahma, because I'm helping Brahma to create the new world. Every action I take, every word I speak, every thought I create is helping Brahma to create the new world. And the beauty of this is that whatever I do, I reap. Baba says, in the Laukik world, people who are soldiers, they fight for the country. They fight for their nation. They fight for their president. They fight for their leader. But here, we are fighting against Maya for ourselves only. Baba doesn't need anything. He is a true altruistic server. He only gives and gives. So we are not only receiving, but we are also giving. And in that giving is receiving. We are actually losing nothing. We are only gaining and gaining and gaining. what we are really losing is the unwanted things which we did not have before and we will not have it in the future also. So it's better to lose now than to lose it later on. Better to give them up ourselves than that to be taken away forcibly from us. So it's easy to give. The vices don't belong to us. The impurity doesn't belong to us. So as it doesn't belong to us, we in an instance are able to surrender. Baba, it's not mine. But unfortunately we have had it for 63 births and therefore it's so difficult to part with that which is not mine. But Baba says again, with the knowledge of self-respect, knowledge of the true self, the knowledge of the Father, it can become easy to give up because it really doesn't belong to me. You know, Baba often tells in the Murli, the old sanskars. Sometimes we complain to Baba, Baba, what can I do? They are my old sanskars. Baba says, don't think that these are your old sanskars. Your oldest sanskars are your golden aged sanskars, not these copper age, iron age sanskars. So once I'm aware of my original form, then it's so easy to give up. So that awareness, that enlightenment, that maintaining of that stage is very, very important. Sustaining that stage through that self-awareness again and again is very, very important. Then I can be really called a true Brahmin, helping God in the cause of world transformation, through self-transformation. Om Shanti. Okay? Okay, Om Shanti.